once more unto the breach, dear friend.
Else close the wall up with our English dead.
And here we are, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, with another exciting episode of The Personal Wealth Coach, starring Jeff and
Jake
McClure. And we're trying new and interesting 21st century electronic equipment and trying to make it work in tandem with the 19th century steam-powered radio station.
Right.
And it's interesting. Anyway, it's one of the challenges, one of the fascinating challenges we face here at the Personal Wealth Coach radio program, and that is blending of technology across millennia.
Yes.
Literally.
When you have a crank starter on the machines,
right,
it has
right.
And you're plugging electronics into it, there may be an issue.
That and the fact that you got to keep the oxen treading in a circle and the squirrels running in their cages.
Yes.
Otherwise, everything sort of falls apart.
All of it has to be oiled very nicely. All the leather belts, if they start squeaking, if
right.
the cage starts to make noises, if the cattle start lowing, then we
right.
have problems. So we have them all carefully quiet.
And, of course, this is all done with whale oil, which is an endangered oil.
Right. We have to order it from Japan, otherwise it
right. you know,
we can't
That's
get it anymore.
And it's one of those things that we're challenged with in here. So you are listening to the Personal Wealth Coach. The Personal Wealth Coach has, and to give you full disclosure, or at least some disclosure.
The only people that are listening, by the way, are the people that really love Led Zeppelin at this point. So
really? Was that what was on before we
came? I believe so, yeah.
We Are Family is Led Zeppelin?
Oh, no, that's a different...
That's different Sly thing. And the Family Stone or
You're
something
right.
like
Any,
that.
Anyway, the... I interrupted you in the middle of a disclosure.
That's,
so
perfect,
go
that's perfectly all right. The fact that you needed to disclose the fact that there was some weird music before our radio program. Well, we can say anything we want to right now. Nobody will notice anyway.
But I'm not noticing.
The Personal Wealth Coach is both a registered investment advisory firm that's based out of Salado, Texas. And, well, actually, that's where our firm is. But we're not there. We're here. We're in Temple. On KTEM, and if today happens to also be April 26th where you are, then we're live, and this is a radio program, and it's a call-in type of program where you can stimulate our brains, which definitely need, on a Saturday morning, some stimulation. I was up till 3 o'clock in the morning this morning taking pictures of clusters, because you can only see the clusters at night.
Star clusters. Not the cereal clusters.
Well, I took a series of pictures, which would be cereal imaging of clusters.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, cereal cluster imaging. Yes.
Right. I was actually doing M3 last night. Anyway, the telephone number's in here, 773-1400 or
1-866-597-1400.
Yeah, I was doing an experiment with light waves last night to see exactly whether the pixel size versus the atmospheric distortion... the best way to get a higher resolution than could be obtained with a single image.
Right. Which is, if we talk about that for the rest of the hour, we'll have as many listeners as the last part of last hour.
Well, I think we'll have fewer, because both of us will fall asleep. So, again, telephone number's in here, 773-1400 or
1-866-597-1400.
So, what happened last week?
Well,
this week.
This week is still...
Right. Well, this is the weekend.
Week. Yeah.
And I think, by the way, there's a fundamental shift has gone on in society, and it should be recognized by the calendar companies. The calendar companies are all about to go out of business because no one... I mean, a printed calendar is still,
right.
is becoming
still
a pretty
have one,
rare
still,
thing.
It's pretty rare.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, that'll go the way of the buggy whips. There may still be a buggy whip company someplace, but I don't know. I'm not sure why anyone would want to whip a buggy. But the weekend is Saturday and Sunday. That's not the week beginning.
No, I think it's like if you have two ends of a string and you tie them together.
Right.
That's the week. It should be called the weekends because one's...
Well, to end is to terminate in current language.
Right.
And it only the other side of something is only the end if you're going backwards in time. Which,
or if you're looking at a string, each week we have.
But there's a difference between string theory.
That's what I'm talking
about. And week.
About.
See, the whole point is time is the only thing in the physical universe that is asymmetrical. It only travels in one direction.
That well, in our experience.
Right. In our our observation of the universe indicates that everything that is, every force is out there, there's a counterforce, right?
See, I've got to get a little bit of argumentative here.
Okay, but the point
when you get into particle physics...
This is my point. I'm talking about time.
I recognize that if you get into quantum mechanics, if you get down to a small enough scale...
Right.
The cause comes after the effect sometimes.
It can, indeed, but only at the speed of light where time doesn't exist.
So right,
where,
which is why I'm saying...
Where time does exist,
it only goes
in one direction.
Right. Well, okay.
And that's weird.
That we know of.
And it could be like in another universe. It could be that that's the reason we can't cross over into the parallel universe is it runs in the opposite direction at the same speed.
See, that's why I'm saying what we know of.
That would make sense, actually.
Yeah.
That would make a great deal of sense if whatever universe is next to ours. Actually, there would be at least two.
There's an excellent movie for you to watch.
What's that?
I think anyone listening would enjoy it as well. It's very interesting.
Mm-hmm. The movie, interesting.
The movie is called Mr. Nobody.
I could really probably get into this. Is it anything like The Man Who Knew Too Little?
Sort of, but not.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So it's not Bill Murray. Basically, it is a science fiction movie. Takes place in the future.
Mr. Nobody.
There is a very, very old man who is the last living mortal. Everybody else has had their genes replaced and they're living forever.
It
doesn't really explain that.
I tend to replace my genes regularly.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, only after I've worn them for enough.
Well, I wash them.
Anyway, he's telling about his life, and he doesn't remember very well. He remembers lots of lives and different versions of his life, and that's what the movie's about, and I think you will enjoy it very much.
I probably will. Okay, this is an endorsement for Mr. Nobody.
Right.
Okay, I like that. Anyway,
but
so
back to what happened. We were talking about weekends
and how Saturday
ends the week. So
but it doesn't really.
It doesn't because Sunday
does.
Really is mm-hmm. because the week really starts on
Monday, which means that the Christians have got it right when they say that Sunday is the Sabbath, the seventh day of the week.
Right.
And the Jews have it wrong because they think it's on Saturday.
Well, which Christians? Because some of the Christians, the Seventh-day Adventists, believe that the seventh day is Saturday.
Right, but the vast majority of Christianity treats the Sabbath, which is the last day, they take their Sabbath on a Sunday.
You know, what we've just said could cause wars.
Really?
It historically has caused wars.
On Mondays?
Generally starts in March.
Okay, right.
So
that's why troops do that.
Right, because they march around. Yes.
Right.
Anyway, we're rambling about a lot of things. Basically, what we just said is this week what happened is we had some days. Most people would have gotten over that without even having to say it.
Now we're getting into some really difficult issue. How long is a day?
That's a theological issue of great depth and importance.
A day is as 1,000 years.
Job, there you go.
Well, no, that's not Job. That's actually Peter.
No, but Job, he talks about my days and the length of his days.
Right.
Ages.
Yeah, well, you know, Jesus said Abraham longed to see my day, and we're trying to figure out, a lot of theologians have spent a lot of time trying to figure out whether he meant what day he was referring to.
And Newton actually said that a day is constant, just depends on which direction the planet's facing.
Right. Actually, if you were in, if you literally were at one of the, we just move in and out of the same day over and over again.
Right. It's not like because we, it's like saying, I'm going to spin around in circles and count the number of yous.
You caught me, did you?
I'm spinning around in circles. How many fathers do you have? Well, a different one every time I spin around.
You know, I've been accused, and so have you, of thinking entirely too much.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, let's see.
If you think too much, you get accused of thinking too little. The people think you're a little bit insane.
A little bit?
More, maybe, than a little bit.
Well, I like the whole week could be summarized in the headline from The Trader from Barron's today.
Week in the market? Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay.
Actually, the whole week could be summarized. Stocks fall slightly after a jittery Friday.
There you go.
That's it. Okay. Now we can go home.
Yeah, that's why we talked about the days of the week so much, because the reality is the market didn't do a whole lot.
Well, it actually was doing very nicely. It was humming along.
Going up nicely, yes.
And it was crawling very, very close to, once again, breaking a record. And then on Friday, the chickens all panicked and ran to one side of the hen house, or something to that effect. And it was fascinating to me reading all the articles as to why the market, quote, plunged, end quote, on Friday. Apparently, it was because several companies reported earnings higher than expected.
Right. Amazon said our earnings are up.
No, Amazon was down.
Well, Amazon said it had high earnings. It was just less than expected.
Right.
Earnings. So,
yeah. And lower than they had anticipated. Of course, other companies had higher earnings.
Mm-hmm.
Some companies that don't have any earnings did worse than they did before. Overall, I think the conclusion is that, usually there's a lot of complexity into why the market takes a nosedive on Friday, which it does pretty regularly in times of uncertainty.
And this is where it gets a little bit weird, because we just talked about Amazon. Amazon's earnings were up.
Right.
But its profit margin was down.
Right.
So they made more money in profits than they did last year.
But with a lower margin.
But they did it with a lower margin.
Right.
Which to most people on the street doesn't matter a whole lot. If I made more money this year than I did last year, I'd be happy.
They made more money, but it was more difficult to do so.
Correct.
Yes. And that caused... Now, that's not why the market went down.
No. That's too esoteric.
I finally concluded there were two major reasons that the market went down on Friday, and this is just Jeff's hypothesis.
All right. Here we go.
Okay.
I'm ready.
The external reason was at least somebody, and certainly several somebodies, concluded after looking at the news very carefully that this weekend might be the time when Russia rolls into Ukraine.
Yeah, it is looking like they may be doing that. Yes.
And that would cause a market panic, so they wanted to panic ahead of the panic. This is a pre-panic panic, okay?
Right, which if you're planning your panics, it's better to panic before the other people panic.
Right. Absolutely.
Unless that causes the other people to panic.
Which leads to the second reason, very nicely, and that is once people who are rumored to actually think and research dive out of the market and other people see it doing so, then they will start going and then other people will see them going. And so usually when there is a dive out of the market on Friday, it is not because the majority of people had any idea why they did it. They did it because other people were doing it.
Right. Well, I don't want to be left holding something that other people don't want to be holding.
And Jake made the theological statement a while back, which he got in trouble for. A guy called him up.
Oh, yes.
That we are herd animals. And there was a person who called and said we weren't animals. And animals comes from animus, which means we move around.
Yes,
so
we
do. So this guy obviously was a vegetable. Everything is either animal, vegetable, or mineral.
Right.
Okay? Flora or fauna or I don't know what mineral is in Latin. But
rock. That's my Latin for you.
I don't think that's the word in Latin. But so if we're not animals, then we must be vegetables. And I think it's entirely possible that he thought he was a vegetable. That could really explain an awful lot of behavior. At any rate, the market basically went down because the folks who operate on the margin, who are traders, who are in the business of jumping in and out of the market, look at a given weekend. See, we're back to the original story again. A weekend, 2 days when the market is closed and when events that will move the market on Monday, in all likelihood, are going to occur, then they can't react to them. If they're deeply concerned about what might happen over the weekend, they have a tendency to bail out on Friday. If they think good things are more likely to happen on the weekend and they can't do anything about them, they tend to run the market up on Friday.
See, I just looked something up. I actually did study Latin for a long time.
What is the word for rock in Latin?
Oh, the word for stone is the thing I have trouble remembering.
Mineral. It's actually mineral that I'm looking at.
Well, the word for stone is calculus.
Calculus?
Right. Which
it's not Petros?
Petros is to turn to stone.
Oh,
it's
really?
To be stone.
Be stoned?
but calculus, which I didn't remember that because I don't remember calculus.
That's why I thought petroleum was rock oil, petrosolium.
It could be that the word for mineral, so silicus is rock.
Hmm. Well, we need to study this very carefully. This is one of those things that rock.
Then
whatever.
It shouldn't be mineral because fauna has minerals in it. We're kind of all made up.
Well, yeah, but we classically categorize all that exists into three categories.
Right, yeah. Anyway, We are rambling about all kinds of fun stuff.
We are in ramble mode. I think it was the We Are Family I was listening to as I was setting up that was driving me a little bit crazy. Anyway, so the market was down about 1% for the week. That's the bad news.
Let me make a statement about that here.
Okay.
You made a good explanation of why the market dropped on Friday, probably better than a lot of the headlines. It dropped about 1% because people were afraid that Russia may be invading Ukraine this weekend.
That they haven't already.
Yeah, they've already invaded Ukraine. And the
they've infiltrated.
Oh, yes. I don't know that invade was the correct word. They just showed up and said, hi. Hey.
Actually, what happens is they're sending a lot of people in who are being paid by the Russian military, but they don't have any patches on their uniforms.
Right.
And well, they have masks on their faces. And let me just throw a little anecdote in. Of course, the Russians are claiming these are local patriots. These are local militia that are doing this.
Yep.
Apparently, in one of the towns, the local protesters and militia showed up to take the city governance building.
Uh-huh.
And they took it and then discovered it was the Opera House.
Oh, well, that's because they don't ever go to their own city council meetings.
Obviously. You
know, they're always the two places they don't go in town is they don't go to the city council and they don't go to the opera.
They were really
so
surprised
they were confused.
When they got inside and they found out there were no city officials inside.
Whoops.
And, and so they actually started asking the reporters, what building is this?
Well, the locals.
Well, this is the opera house of this town.
These local volunteers that are pro-Russian. Mm-hmm. They are not big on opera or city governance. So
obviously,
I mean, do you know where the Opera House is?
In Salado?
Exactly. You don't even know that there's an Opera House
in
Salado.
I know where it used to be. It was actually in the old feed barn.
See, what I'm saying is that most people don't know where the Opera House is, and most people—well, I guess most people do know where the City Council House is,
but the City Hall,
don't go there very often.
Well,
so they might get it confused.
Right. Well, these guys got it apparently very severely confused, and they actually came back out, all of them dressed in the same clothes.
Right. Well, that's what you do if you're local volunteers. You get together
and cropped hair,
buy your clothes together.
And all of them had exactly the same modern military weapons that aren't issued to civilians.
They all shop at the same store. That's all it is.
And the store is in Moscow.
Right. And they don't have to pay anything for it. In fact, they get paid to shop there.
Cool.
Yeah. Anyway,
all wearing the same clothes.
Right.
And it happened. Now, this is an interesting thing. They thought so highly of the local militia who took over in Crimea, who President Putin denied were Russian soldiers. And
well, he gave them a bunch of medals.
Well, now he has acknowledged that they, in fact, were Russian special forces
right,
soldiers.
Right, and they all got medals for it.
Right, and now these guys love those guys so much, they're dressing exactly the same way, carrying the same kind of weapons, and wearing the same kind of mask.
Well, they went to the same stores again.
Obviously. So.
Anyway, the statement I was coming to is that the market dropped 1% for the week.
Uh-huh.
That tells you how much weight we put on Ukraine. It tells you that the people that are afraid of a Ukrainian invasion don't think it's going to go any further than Ukraine.
Well, I think actually the amount of weight, it's about 40 tons per Russian tank.
That's a lot of weight.
So the Russians are putting a lot of weight on Ukraine, but we're not putting any.
That's true.
So that's really what it was.
We did put 600 soldiers in Poland.
Which that makes perfectly good. 600 soldiers. Yes, all right.
Yeah, we should be able to do something with 600 people.
And there are air defense all
tens of thousands. Yes, they are.
They're air defense soldiers, which, right. Let me tell you, I was in the Army, and from what I understand, nothing has changed. They probably would, and I won't even go there. Never mind. Okay. I guess probably a more significant thing is the one-year market return. I don't know how well any of you remember what happened last year. I don't. But I have notes where I can look at it. The stock market was up, depending on which branch of the stock market you're talking about, something like 28%, and a lot of people were very excited about that. A real view is to look at a moving, and believe me, it should be much longer than that. We're, you know, 5 to 10 years is far probably a better time frame, but we're looking at 1 year trailing return of the S&P 500, which is a pretty broad piece of the market. It's up 17.77%. The Dow is up about 11.21 over the last year. NASDAQ up about 24. Year to date, the NASDAQ is down almost 2.5%. Year to date, the S&P 500 is up a whopping 0.81%.
And wow.
The year to date Dow is down 1.3%. That's, you know, we have a tendency to gather our information when we think about the economy from the news media. And I love it when I can't even imagine why they do this, but I'm listening to the news and Dow was up 4 points. Dow's down 2 points. Like, huh? Why did you just report that? What does that mean?
The reason why they report it, it's a pretty good reason.
No, they don't tell you where it is. They just say it's down 2 points.
Right.
From what?
Well, the whole reason for the index is to have a headline.
Oh.
That's all. They don't care what it means because it doesn't really mean anything.
I can assure you they don't know what it means, too.
Which is, you know, I can spend just a moment talking about what is an index because...
Your time's up.
I said a moment. Moments can last.
Yeah,
for,
well, okay.
There's songs about that.
Really? Moments if you're in love.
Yeah. And anyway, the indexes are measurement devices made by news media corporations. And the Dow Jones Industrial Average was made by Dow Jones, which are the editors and company that owns the Wall Street Journal. Mm-hmm. Rupert Murdoch owns the company that now owns the company. But that concept of they had lots of stocks, but they're reporting in the back of the newspaper these stocks, but they don't have a headline because you have to report a bunch of stocks. So they made an average of stocks, and that's why we call it the index or the average.
Well, actually, we call it the Dow Jones Industrial Average.
Right.
Which isn't.
Which isn't average.
Right. They don't average it anymore. They manipulate the heck out of it.
Right. Well, they kind of manipulated the heck out of it at the beginning, too. It's just...
Well, that's one of the funny things is they intentionally manipulate the valuations of the various companies that are in there.
Just to make it even, yeah.
which
the S&P 500 does, too.
Well, the S&P 500 at least has some methodology we can understand. It's
right.
Capitalization weighted,
right.
So it's consistent.
But that
the
Dow
concept, just says, okay, we need to tweak this a little bit this way and a little bit that way to make it make more sense.
When we listen to the news and we hear the Dow was up 2 points, the reason why they report that is because a media corporation went through a lot of effort over a lot of years to be able to say that the Dow was up or down a couple of points. If you put that much effort into giving people free headlines, mm-hmm. they're going to use them.
Well... let me tell you that you're listening to the Personal Wealth Coach, the telephone numbers to call in here are presuming today is April 26th, and presuming that somebody is actually listening to the show after the previous hour of strange music, 773-1400 or
1-866-597-1400.
There was a shortage of treasuries this week. Shortage of treasury securities.
Oh, securities. I was like, go ahead. There's few treasuries? This is...
Well, actually...
Is this not a department?
I don't know. It could be. But there was actually a shortage of short-term treasury securities this week. And people who wanted to use short-term treasury securities as, for example, collateral on transactions couldn't find enough in the market. So... There was a record use, oh boy, I love this term, of the Fed reverse repo market, which you have to be a geek to even think about a reverse repo because it hurts my brain when I was trying to figure it out. What it boils down to make it very, very simple, is the Federal Reserve holds, 20 to 30% of our debt owned by the public. Which is our real debt in the United States, which is not huge at this point. You know, really, it's 73% of our gross domestic product, the equivalent of the total debt owned by the public. But a pretty good-sized chunk of that is owned by the Federal Reserve. And the Federal Reserve, believe it or not, will not require the United States government to pay back its debts to the Federal Reserve. Matter of fact, the Federal Reserve pays the federal government when it makes money. So, but the interesting thing is they have a lot of federal debt sitting in the Federal Reserve and banks and so on. And so, and they are, for some reason or another, willing to lend this at rock bottom, effectively zero interest. So there was a record usage this last week, you know, record-breaking event occurred this week. There was a record volume of Fed reverse repos issued. And you, I guess you really have to be not just a geek, but an economic geek.
Trying to figure out why that is interesting.
Well, it's interesting because this is the interesting point. The Federal Reserve, the United States government issues debt, which is to say it borrows money. And we think about its issuance of debt as being excessive. I love it. You know, if you're a government and you borrow money, it's called the issuance of debt. Or if you're a corporation and you borrow money, it's called the issuance of debt.
Yeah, it's like you're giving someone something.
It's called borrowing money.
Yeah. I mean, if I went around saying, I'm going to give you some of my debt, the bank would say, well, that's very nice, but we may not give you the money.
We have enough of our own, thank you very much. The banks have tremendous debts, by the way. That's what makes banks work. They owe a lot of people a lot of money. When you have a bank deposit, the bank owes you the amount of money that you have deposited
there. They look at all the deposits on hand.
And they're doing something else with your money.
Right. Those deposits are considered the bank's liabilities.
Right. So when you come in, you're a liability.
Your liability is very strong if you've got to talk to a bank officer.
Well, yeah, it's the bank's liability. It's the bank's ability to lie.
Right, exactly.
I could go into this. Anyway, so what happens? What happened this week is it because it is the week, the month, when the United States government actually runs a temporary surplus every year. Because a lot of people pay their taxes,
or at least they pay what remains of their taxes.
Right. They pay a larger chunk of their taxes this month than any other month. So the federal government technically will run typically a surplus this month, which meant they're not issuing new Treasury T-bills. They're not issuing T-bills. They're not issuing T-notes. Matter of fact, they are doing some rolling over of these things, but mostly it's longer term. They're moving from a shorter term to a longer term on their debt, which is a really good idea at this point.
Especially since the interest rates are so low.
And so what happened is when people said they showed basically, and I'm going to tremendously oversimplify this, they didn't show up at the Treasury. They showed up at Treasury dealers, the people who the Treasury uses to sell their stuff to the public. And said, "Hey, we want to buy about a gazillion dollars worth of that's a economic term, by the way, or it's also known as a bunch of T-notes because we want to use those as collateral on a trade that we're making." And the dealer said, "Sorry, out of T-notes. The government's not issuing much debt. There's just not enough government debt right now for you to do this." And the thing is, this is one of those things we don't understand: government debt. United States government debt, particularly, is critical, absolutely hypercritical for our economy to function. Without government debt, we wouldn't have, it's kind of like running an internal combustion engine without any oil in it.
Right.
It is the things that make things work. If I want to buy something from you, and you are on the other side of the country, and it's got to be shipped to me, there has to be a credit issuance somewhere in the system. I have to be sure if I'm going to pay you the money that you're in fact going to ship it to me and get it to me. And if I'm not going to pay you money till I get it, then you send it and you hope I'll pay you the money.
Right.
Now, if I'm going to, I could, for example, set aside, it's called a repo agreement. I own a certain number of T-bills, which are sure things, no question. And they're held at a depository, and you then, the person who has all this equipment that you're going to send me across the country, get a repo. In other words, you have the ability to repossess, to take away, it's actually reverse repo, to grab those Treasury securities worth what I'm supposed to pay you.
Right.
If I don't pay you.
also known as collateral.
But before I can do that, I need to purchase the Treasury securities. Actually, I don't purchase them. I just borrow them and put them in a depository so that when you ship the stuff to me, you are complete. Basically, it's PayPal at a very large level.
Right,
okay?
Right. It's way before PayPal, payment. It was this. Yeah.
It's a guarantee. It's a deal. It's where people at – we used to use letters of credit to do this. Unfortunately, letters of credit can be forged, and the bank that issues the letter of credit may not be there when you need the credit. And so to lower risk, people use Treasury securities, and they don't want to use long-term Treasury securities because they can vary in value over a week's time. So they use short-term Treasury securities. And when the government's not borrowing enough money on any given week,
that dries up.
And somebody's got to, fortunately, the Federal Reserve has got a whole bunch of that stuff, so yeah. They're able to loan it to people.
This is why the Federal Reserve exists, actually. I'm going to go back into some history here, if you don't mind. I know how much you hate history.
My mother said I don't mind very well.
All right, so you don't mind if I go ahead.
Right, I don't mind very often.
Right.
As you, as my compliance officer, will tell me on a regular basis, you're not minding me. Right, I never mind.
In the mid to late 1600s, England...
I remember that well, right?
Oh, yes, yes, remember it very well. England had a few difficulties with its finance.
A few?
A few. And right. some from the 1660s all the way up to the 1690s, they had a few.
A lot of people had trouble. Right. The French had even bigger troubles.
The French had massive troubles.
They had John Law, who was a Scotsman running the show.
they wound up with an issue where, because the French were invading England...
Mm-hmm. The French were invading England?
Yes. In the late 1600s, they decided to invade England, caused the English to blow up a lot of things in France later. But so what happened is the French, the Sun King, Louis XIV.
Louis XIV.
Says...
You got to say that right.
Leroy.
Yeah, Leroy.
Decided that he wanted England because James Stuart, who was... crowned king of England, was his buddy and was sitting over there with
that
him.
That invasion of England.
Yes, and William of Orange, who had just invaded England a few years back from Amsterdam and taken over, said, hey, I'm king now. They're sitting over there, and Leroy, the French king, decides that he wants to go invade England.
Hey, Leroy.
So he's invading Germany, which wasn't Germany yet. It was just Germanic. There were lots of electorates.
Right,
it was part of the Holy Roman Empire.
Holy Roman
Empire. Oh, my goodness. Anyway, so he's got little bits of Europe all over the place.
Just wanted peace.
Just a piece of you and a piece of you and a piece of you.
Just like Russia.
Just like Russia.
Yes.
So he builds up a minor fortune in silver.
Which has a double meaning.
Right. And part of this he got by melting down his silver furniture and requiring his nobility to do the same with their plates and their silverware. So then he went to Lyon, which is a small town in France.
Named after the local lion.
Right. And that's,
the Lions Club.
Right. This was actually very similar to that. There were a group of club members there. It was called a depot.
The club... De Lyon.
Right.
Lyon,
Depot
which means
Club
outline,
de Lyon. Right. Yeah.
Club de Lyon. That's it. Ponce came from there, didn't he?
Yes, actually.
Right.
So this group of people are bankers, basically, only they bank in all kinds of things. They bank in money, and they bank in wood, and they bank in ceramics, and they're merchants.
Goldman Sachs was doing that very
exactly. Right. They're very much the same. It's the same concept, this conglomeration of people that are kind of trading stuff around, and they don't trade money back and forth very often. Just like you were saying, they have these repo concepts where they're handing stuff back and forth, and they say, all right, I have this stuff, you have that stuff, let's trade it, but we don't actually have to trade it. We can just write it down that it's traded.
Right.
Well, one of the major banking houses, they have, this is really a house, and that it is people, a family.
A house.
That were the banking family. It's very much like what...
And their name was Banks.
Not really, but...
No, okay.
But they had little offices in Amsterdam and offices in London. Well, Leroy decides that it's a good idea, if he's invading England, to pay his soldiers. So think about this for a moment. If you're paying an invading army, you have to pay it in the coin of the realm that you're invading.
Right.
So you can't give the French soldiers French coins because they're in England if they're invading England, and they can't buy anything with French coins. Leroy had also just recently recoined. It works great inside. It's like a revaluation of money. He'd taken about 10% of the silver away and gave the same amount of value to the coins, which
it's called debasing.
Debasing the currency.
Right.
Which works just fine because the king said this is worth this, and that's what it's worth, except that if you're trading with another country, they're like, no, it's not. It's not worth that anymore. Now, inside the country, it was fine. Outside,
right.
No.
Right.
So the English, who the French were about to invade, would not want to take debased currency from the French soldiers. So the French decide to deposit silver in Lyon, get a letter of credit to go to Amsterdam, and then to London. In London, they would get money minted in the Tower of London, which would be written out to...
which would be paying soldiers that are invading England.
Right. But the English don't know this. So the English are minting out this coin.
You know, history really doesn't change very much.
No, it's very similar to what happens today. So the English are minting out this coin that's intended to pay the French soldiers that are invading England, except that the invasion fleet never makes it out of France because the English showed up and sank them all.
Right. I'm very familiar. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. And then just blew up a lot of the forts that were on the coast. And
yeah, this is actually before the Armada, and they were trying to practice Spanish.
This is after the Armada.
Oh, that's right. It was after the Armada. So that's why they were practicing their Spanish.
Right.
They said, thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you very much. So they're sailing around, sinking.
Now I'm coming into this. They didn't actually invade England. You said they were invading. They were actually just thinking about it really, really hard.
Right. They tried. They began to. And they had this fleet all built up. They had James Stuart, the King of England, who was truly one of two kings of England at the time.
Right.
He had just got kicked out of Ireland, and now he's about to come back with
Ireland?
The... Yeah, he went to Ireland after England and then got kicked out of Ireland by William of Orange came. And just, anyway, it was a bad thing for him.
Cool.
The long and the short of it
this
is...
This is before his son, who was really Bonnie...
Right.
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 Who dressed in drag part of the time.
So did he. When he left England, he dressed in drag as well. That's how he got away. So it's a family tradition for this group of people to run away from England dressed as a woman.
He had a son named Bonnie who dressed like a woman.
Right. So anyway.
And all the conservatives loved him. That's what was interesting.
Having said all of that, that the invasion fleet never left because it just went down instead of across.
Yeah, I've read the stories of how they set ships on fire and they're up
pushed them into it. Yeah,
basically just let them drift into the midst of all the French ships who thought they were secure.
Basically, they went with longboats in the fog and they boarded French ships and took the French ships without the French knowing what was going on because it was all foggy. Lit their ships on fire and pushed them back towards the English or the French fleet. And the French saw their own ships coming to them, and, they've got a lot of lamps on. Oh, wait, those things are on fire. So the French fleet was pretty well destroyed.
Which is why today we only use metal warships.
Right, exactly. Well, back to Leroy, the king. He's just spent a large amount of money making this fleet, putting together this army.
I don't think I've ever heard anybody call Louis XIV.
Leroy.
Louis XIV.
Well, that was his nickname. His nickname was Leroy. It was
really?
Leroy. Yes.
Well, the king. It just in French that means the king.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Leroy. Got it. Okay. I never before connected Leroy with the king of France. But
okay.
Now
so,
I have got it. From now on, Louis XIV, the Sun King, is Leroy.
So this banking house
was his last name Brown.
No, it was not. It's not
bad Leroy Brown. No, it could be him.
I believe his last name was Soul or the Sun or something like that anyway.
Okay, well, they didn't rhyme with the song, which is probably why he got his clock
right,
going.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Okay, so back to this banking house who's just expended a lot of money with a promise from the King of France who just the week before had been the most powerful person in all of Europe and now is suddenly bankrupt. Well, this... banker now has given out the coin, and he has an IOU from the king that isn't good anymore. So the all that coin is now in London, except that in order to get all of the metal to the Tower of London to be minted, it had to have more come from Amsterdam. Well, the banker only was able to make one shipment of it before he went bankrupt. That shipment went and was received by one of the French spy types.
Right.
Who decided since the fleet was sunk, he was just going to keep it.
Do you have a name for this gentleman?
Nobody really knows.
And it disappeared.
Right. So the money disappeared. In the process, the banks of France, which
was
were...
Was his name Madoff?
Very well could have been.
Because he definitely made off with the money. All the where the family came from. The family name came from Madoff.
Right. So all the banks in France decided to stop loaning money. All the banks in England said, oh, that's a good idea. I'll stop loaning money too.
Wait a minute. That's what's going on today.
Exactly. It is exactly what's going on today.
I knew you were going somewhere with this story.
In 1692, just a few years after the invasion, almost, of England, the Bank of England was formed because they needed a lender of last resort. That's why we call the Federal Reserve the lender of last resort. This was the first national bank. And the United States, before it was the United States, and then when it became United States, said, that's a great idea. The Bank of England over there was the first national bank. Hey, let's call ours that. It's the first national bank. And then that went bankrupt.
And then defunct.
And then they made it a second national bank. And then that one defunct. And let's just call it a Federal Reserve.
National bank actually didn't go defunct. It just got destroyed by Andrew Jackson.
Jackson just said, get rid of it. We don't want it.
We don't like the second bank of the United States.
All of that was
called it the Federal Reserve after that.
A long statement of why, one, we're not on the gold standard, because there's only so much silver and gold to go around. And if it suddenly disappears, like somebody stops spending it, well, you can't make new coins because somebody has them all.
Because Madoff will run off with the money.
Right, and then if he's not spending it, then it's not getting spent. You can't make new coins out of that.
Mm. Second, which actually you've described why 57% of Americans think we're still in a recession.
Yes.
Because there's not enough money being spent.
People aren't spending enough money.
Right.
It's sitting in people's bank accounts, which is fine. I think it's good that they've got savings.
Some brave soul has called us on 773-1400. Sir, brave soul, you're on the air with the Personal Wealth Coach. Go ahead.
Hey, guys, I've listened to you for years, and you've done a lot of comedic stuff, but you really need to put that Leroy bit on the CD and sell it. that was classic. That's the best I've heard,
it's
and
perfect.
I can't remember when.
It's perfectly accurate. Leroy, right. It means the king in French.
Your next call will probably be from Saturday Night Live.
Well, thank you. Yes, Leroy is the reason why we have the Federal Reserve.
We need to get hit Brown hung on the back of his name somehow.
Bad, bad Leroy's son.
Well, that sounds very Chinese.
True, true. Anyway, we have some commercials we need to play before.
Okay, thank you for calling.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
And we actually do have to play some commercials. And we'll be back, Lord willing, on the other side. Now, this is funny. You were just talking about bankruptcy, right?
Bankruptcy attorney.
No, we're talking about bankruptcy and banks who go bankrupt.
Rupture.
That's an interesting thing, ruptured banks. So bear that in mind when you hear the next commercial. And we're back like a bad penny. It's the Personal Wealth Coach with Jeff and
Jake
McClure. Have you ever had a bad penny come back?
I didn't realize that there was such a thing as a bad penny. I thought all pennies were pretty much
useless. I just
useless.
Know that there is this saying that says something about we're back, you know, a bad penny returns to you or something.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's a bad luck penny. I don't know. I think all pennies are pretty well useless. I don't know the last time I used
Penny.
Well,
it could be a person named Penny who's really bad, like Leroy Brown.
Right, or Leroy's son.
Yes. And hopefully he hasn't come back. Anyway, you are listening to the Personal Wealth Coach. Telephone number is in here, 773-1400 or
1-866-597-1400.
Man alive, was that a story.
Well, thank you.
It reminds me.
It was not just my story. It was his story. see what I did with the history.
His story. Okay. I love the concept that banks and bankrupt, to rupt, to rupture, to blow up.
Right. It's all right there.
And the expert, and then, and believe me, we did not plan this. The commercials, the two commercials that came
bankruptcy.
On, you owe money to the IRS or bankruptcy attorney, or you'll feel a whole lot better after talking about bankruptcy.
Yeah.
I guess that could happen.
Anyway, that just a real quick wrap up, that the French debt that was held prior to the invasion became absolutely worthless. And it took a very large number of years for enough people to make a market in the French debt to cause the economy to start moving again. But this is a big reason why another Louis got his head chopped off, because it started here with the currency issues, and the nobility were able to keep living high on the hog that belonged to them and not to the people that raised the hog. And if you go over to England at exactly the same time, more power was transferred to the merchants and the people, while in France it was taken away. It was because...
Got it.
Yeah, the nobility really wanted to live
and
high up there.
And it's just like the song of Bad, Bad Leroy Brown, who basically got his butt kicked.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And this is one of the few times that the Sun King was defeated in battle.
So. It's pretty interesting. I'm going to think about that quite a lot, actually. Okay. The hour is almost over, and we have another hour next hour, which is a good thing.
Is the next hour our hour as well? It is our hour.
On this radio station, it is.
Right.
But elsewhere, to say that we owned that particular hour becomes deeply philosophical.
All time is my time. By definition.
Really?
Yeah, and when it isn't my time anymore, then I don't know anything about it.
You don't owe anything. Right. Okay,
right.
Got that.
Yeah.
All right.
Man.
Man. A quick summary of what's going on in the big bad world out there. Leading economic indicators were published by the conference board this week, which are really important, which is why you never read much about them in the newspapers. For whatever it's worth, the conference board's leading economic indicators are just phenomenally good at forecasting the next 6 months in the United States economy. And we don't have recessions unless they turn negative. And if they stay negative for like 90 days, then, you know, you really want to say, okay, we're going to have a recession. And it follows. When they're positive, we don't get recessions. Now, occasionally they will get like 60 days of false warning, and we don't quite get a recession. It's no big thing. This is the point I want to make. The leading economic indicators are strongly signaling at this point that the economy will continue to improve through the rest of this year.
Durable goods increased. New orders of durable goods
increased.
That's
coincidence.
2.6. That's right now. That's what's going on right now.
But actually, oddly enough, the it's a coincidence. The coincident index, it's a pure coincidence, I'll assure you, is down. And this is one of those times when if you actually look at what's going on in the economy, and right at this moment, or have been going on for the last month, you can conclude that things are going downhill, that we are losing ground, and that maybe the recovery is over and we're going to slide back into a recession or something. But the leading economic indicators are the ones that should be watched if you want to know what's coming, which makes perfectly good sense. And they're saying that through the rest of the year, the economy should improve. There's a whole lot of interesting information about that floating around out there, which is geeky stuff to the extreme.
This is why people listen to us, though, because they like geeky stuff. They at least like knowing that somebody's interested in this weirdness.
So the leading economic indicators were up 0.8% in March. And by that, now that's not annualized. You have to multiply that times 12 to get some indication of what would be going on an annualized basis. And it is a significant rise
that's
for one month.
Yeah, that's really big.
And we're coming out of inclement weather did have an effect on what happened. The other side of it is, and you mentioned this a moment ago so accurately, because of the losses in money and in loans that occurred, banks are very reluctant to loan people money to build houses. As a result of their reluctance to loan people money to build houses, people are not building very many houses. So our housing starts were down like 15%, 17% over where they were at this point last year. In other words, over the last year, new housing construction down about 17%. And we're about out of time. So this has been the first hour of the Personal Wealth Coach. And we'll be back next hour with more of the Personal Wealth Coach. If you'd like to contact us off the air, we've got a voicemail waiting, 947-1111 locally, or
1-800-914-7526.
And we'll be back with more of the Personal Wealth Coach next hour.
KTEM AM, Temple, Belton, Killeen, Fort Hood.